The story of Advent is most lined out in the book of Luke and in the book of Matthew. On last week, we spoke from the book of Matthew. So many of you came to me and told me, I never knew that about the Bible. Things that we tend to celebrate, like Jesus being born in a stable, Bible doesn't say that. That there were animals all around, the Bible doesn't say that. That Mary and Joseph came all the way from Nazareth on donkey, the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, we learn from Scripture, tell me if I'm wrong, that his birth was a hard one. The place where he was born could possibly, at least according to the text, have been out in the elements, in the cold. And the only place that his mother and father had to put him was in a feed trough, which is a name for a manger, where animals drank their water and ate their food. And so there was nothing that was comforting about it. Our tradition is nice and it helps us to celebrate Christmas, but we need to know that Christ says to us, if I can make it in that, you can make it in your big fine house. You can make it in your job. You can make it in the salary that you made. My parents were, by all nature, we noticed surely about Mary, not so much about Joseph, but they were just teenagers. And Mary was pregnant at about 12, 13 years old. And it was tough. Do y'all hear me? I can identify with that a little bit because I'm a child of those babies, what we call baby boomers, born after World War II. My father and mother came up from South Carolina with a wave of African Americans. I'm talking about millions of people that were running away from racism and the legal law that said that black people were subjugate to other people. And my father told me, I don't know if I ever told you this, Cheryl, but my father told me that when I was born, they didn't have money for a crib. They didn't have money for a bassinet. And they had just moved into the projects of New York City. And they put me in a dresser drawer. Y'all don't hear me. They put me in a dresser drawer until they could do better. You see, it's not where you start. I don't live in a dresser drawer now. Can I get a witness? Young people, it's not where you start. It's where you finish. And Jesus reminds us that you are my manger. I live inside of you. And I will lead you to the best possible life that you could ever have. There were some shepherds who came to see this newborn baby. We don't know how many. The Bible doesn't say how many it was. We do know one thing. They didn't bring the sheep with them. They came on their own, stinky and smelly. They didn't wash up, at least way the scripture didn't say. But he didn't wash up either. He hadn't been cleaned up either. Any of you women, I was there for our children's birth, and kids don't come out looking cute like they look right now, do they? Can I get a witness? They'd be a little on the wrinkly side. And they've got a lot of the afterbirth still on them, and you have to clean them up. But Jesus didn't get any of that. Why? Because Scripture doesn't say that. It just says that when a baby gets ready to come, it comes. You can be in a cab. You can be on an elevator. When the baby gets ready to come, all babies are not born in nice, comfortable surroundings. Some of them are born trying to get somewhere. And so that's the beginning of Jesus. Today, I want to preach to you, it's a chronological connection to the story that we find in Luke, and it's in Matthew. Matthew. And we discover some more people who were searching for Jesus. And I've discovered in looking at both of these stories that when you're searching for Jesus, there is one thing that is constant, and that is expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. I'm sure that if I were to ask how many of you are Christians in here this morning, you will say, I'm a Christian. And if I said to how many of you, everything went smooth since you've been a Christian, probably not a hand would go up. That you're familiar with the unexpected. You're familiar with life not being a straight up the hill, but it's a up and a down. And sometimes a lot of difficulty. So we're going to look this morning at Matthew 2, 1 through 11, which is the other folk that come into, oh, there they go right there. These wise men. We don't know how many of them it was. Usually they're depicted as three, and I guess coming from, it says the east, that we assume they was on camels, but the Bible doesn't say that. They could have walked a long ways, about, depending on what part of the east they came from, about 500 to 1,000 miles away. Same trip that Abraham took. But they were searching for this king. Our background verse says in Matthew 2, 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So this is after. The shepherds went there to, they came right after the birth, but it was on that day, it appears from the text. But this was some time after because of the distance coming from the east. Are you with me? So the baby would have probably been, we're talking about Jesus now, probably about 5 to 9 months old. Still an infant, but it took a long time to get from that many miles to this many miles. During the time of King Herod, he's an important person this morning in our sermon. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, Magi are what they call wise people. Are you with me? Let me hear you say wise people. Wise men. And some of you understand what wisdom is. You don't get wisdom until you first get knowledge. And then you put that knowledge to work. And wisdom comes out of that. Well, where did they get their knowledge from? These individuals were what you call astronomers and astrologers. In other words, they studied the stars and the planets and so forth. That was astronomy, that's science. But they were also believers. Not believers in God as we know, but believers in the stars having influence on folks' lives. How many of you look at your horoscope on a monthly basis. Or you tell people, I'm an Aquarian. I was born in March. Well, you might just be a believer in horoscopes. Do you see what I'm saying? But God's going to use their believing to help them get to the truth. Because sometimes we believe in something and it's not true. And it doesn't lead to truth per se. But God can still use it. Are you with me this morning? All right. Expecting the unexpected when you're searching for Jesus. Five principles that come out of our text this morning. Number one, expect questions. Expect questions. I don't know about you, but before I was saved and I started on my quest to find truth, I started asking questions. Tell me something about who God is. Tell me which is the right church. Tell me who is talking about the right truth. Can I get a witness? And when I got saved, guess what? More questions came up. Who am I in relationship to this truth? Who am I? Oh, what can I do? Does God love me? Does God care about me? Where am I going to go when I die? We find in verse number 2, remember the wise men, they have come to Jerusalem looking for this baby, this born king. It says, where they raise the question, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? You have to wonder how they came to that. Because remember, these are Gentiles. They're from the east. Persians, Babylonians, or even Babir is not here, Indians. Jimmy's here, though. They come from the east. They are astrologers in terms of their belief system. But somewhere along the line, they have coupled it with an understanding that, you know what? There is something special about these Jews. There is something special about what they claim, and that is they have a king that is going to be born who is the king of the Jews. How do they know? Remember again, they're what? Astrologers. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. In other words, the divine star. I've never seen that because I'm not an astrologist. But they believed in the king star, the divine star. The star that would lead them to the king of the Jews and therefore give them truth. I don't know what your questions are this morning. Some of you may have come here today because I want to get that meal that we're going to have at 12 o'clock. And I don't blame you. I hear it's going to be extra special today, so I'm excited about getting it too. But for those of you who have questions, don't feel as if you're off track. Because you see, unexpected questions are a part of you working out your relationship with God. Unexpected questions. I never knew. I never thought that I would raise questions with God about how I should spend the money that I make. I never thought that I would have questions with God about how to have a good marriage. I never thought that I would have questions with God about raising children. And the worst ones to raise are adult children today. Can I get a witness? You see, when you search for God, who is Jesus, you will have unexpected questions. And I'm going to say this unequivocally. This is why we have Bible study. Because we come there. We don't all the time get all of our questions answered. But every now and then, God will step in. Can I get a witness? Unexpectedly. Out of nowhere. And answer the questions that I have for my life. That's why I show up. That's why I listen to the preacher. That's why I'm concerned about this king. Because I've got questions that only God, if he's the real God, if he's the one that the star is shining over, then that's who I want to see. Now, they believed in the star. They did not believe in Jesus. So let's get that cleared up right now. But they believed in the star. And I believe any place you start with Jesus is a good place if you're searching for him. Be it coming to church. And I got news for you. You can't go to church, but you can be the church. And I hope that somebody today, when you leave, will say, you know what? I'll never go to church again. But today is my first day to be the church. And I take the church with me everywhere I go. Because I am the church. Unexpected questions. Second truth is unexpected disturbances. When you search for Jesus, it's going to put you in some circles. It's going to put you in some places where you might even on your job or in your school, you may be diametrically opposed to what's going on in the circle. Is there anybody here ever experienced that? Well, all of a sudden, I found Jesus, and I think everybody ought to be excited with me, and there's some folk who are sitting over there plotting against me because Jesus is disturbing. Jesus will disturb how you do your life. Jesus will disturb how you do your relationships. Jesus will even disturb how you do church. I know that Living Hope is looking for a pastor, and pretty soon they won't have to look at this old guy anymore. You're going to get you a young brother or sister. Never know. I'll tell you why that might happen in just a minute. But you're looking for that person to lead you into a new place. That's not my job. That's not Cheryl's job. Our job is to not take you back, but it's to hold you together until you take that step of faith. But you need to know that things are not going to be rosy. Things are not going to be easy. Can I get a witness? If you've ever been there before, then you know that there's going to be some disturbance. Where did the disturbance come from in our text? Well, when old King Herod heard this, he was what? Y'all looking for a king? I'm the king. What are you talking about? He's the king of the Jews. Now, I want you to understand something, Terry. He wasn't a Jew. He was an Edomite and an Asian. But by Caesar's authority, he was put over the Jews. Not unusual. You put somebody in a place who you think. Now, Esau would have been family to the Jews, but they certainly were not Jews. It came from Esau, so Edomites. But Herod hated to hear that. Now, he had already been king about 37 years. And so his kingship is going to be ending pretty soon because, I mean, you know, people die. But just the thought that somebody is looking for another king. You know, if I would have an ego, just the thought that Living Hope has got a nerve. Y'all don't hear me. They got old Gainey here. Look like they would be satisfied. Thank you for that. The one person that said, you know. But they were disturbed. Because, and Herod is kind of understandably why he's disturbed, because he's the king. And y'all looking for the king? And you're going to see in a minute, they got gold and frankincense, and y'all not giving me none? And I'm the king? Who is this king? You got to understand something about Herod, too. Herod was a killer. He was a murderer. He murdered his own wife, murdered many people in his family, and then murdered, according to the legend, the whole Sanhedrin at some part to get them in line with him. So he was known as murderer. And he's going to want to murder this baby. He's going to want to kill this kid. But it not only said that Herod was disturbed, but it said all Jerusalem with him. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, why is all of Jerusalem disturbed? You have to remember, the Jews were slaves under the Romans. But they were allowed to worship. They were allowed to keep their culture. They were allowed to do their own thing. So they don't want a new king. They don't want the real king. They don't want the king that's going to really come and disturb things. They want things to stay just like they are. Living Hope, I stand before you and I say to you, not wishing it, but when you search for Jesus, how many of you, I'm talking about Living Hope family now, are searching for your future in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's going to be some disturbances. It's not going to be smooth and easy. It's not going to be, well, we got this young buck now and his pretty wife and her smartness and all them children and everything going to be, no! When you search for Jesus, the unexpected disturbances come too. I could spend this morning giving you my testimony that it's been disturbance after disturbance. Can I get a witness? And sometimes the disturbance comes in death of a child. Because you know that's not the order of things. The order of things is the parents supposed to go first. Not the child. But you see, I'm searching for Jesus. And I'm glad you told me that sometimes disturbance is what God uses to get us to the next place. Can I get a witness? Number three, unexpected commissions. Now remember, who was the primary person that called the disturbance for the wise men? King Herod. He's going to be the same one that's going to say, go ye and find Jesus. It's crazy, right? You don't expect your enemy to commission you. You don't expect your enemy to give you resources to go forward. You don't expect your enemies to help your church. You know, if Living Hope was having a problem financially, the last place they would go is to their enemies. They'd probably call on other church brothers and sisters and say, would you help us? But here's where I want you to learn something about the God you serve. And that is sometimes God will use your enemy. Sometimes God will use the very people that you hate and despise. Sometimes God will use the very person who is causing you havoc who is causing you disturbance. Isn't that an humbling thing? when the person that you can't stand says, I'll give you $1,000 to help you on your way, even if it's no more than just get you out of my hair. Look at what the text says. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, this is the king, he's saying to himself, let me find out from those religious folk if they know anything about this king other than me. And he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. They replied, verse number 5, in Bethlehem, Judea. Now, how did they know? For this is what the prophet has written. This is what's in the Bible. This is where we get it from. We haven't watched any astrology. We don't know anything about astronomy, and we respect those sciences. But you see, our understanding comes from the book. It says in the book, King, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi. Hey, y'all come back here now. I need you to get back in here. And it says secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Now, why is that important? You have to understand astrology and astronomy to understand this. Why is that? Because when we see a star in the sky, I'm not talking about the sun now, but when we see a star, and all suns are stars, not all stars are suns. You have to have planets around you to be a sun. That's not important, but I thought I'd show you how much I did my homework. When you look at a star and you see it, you're really looking at the past. Y'all don't hear me. Because we measure the distance of what we see in space as what's called light years. And it takes so many light years. Y'all don't hear me. For the light from a star to come to our vision. And so when you see a star, you are always looking at the past. And so Herod says to these wise men, and at least he understands this, tell me exactly when you saw it. And then that'll give me an idea of how I need to deal with this situation. He sent them to Bethlehem. This is the king. And he said, go and search carefully for the child. This person is supposed to be the king. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. Now, he's lying. He don't want to worship another king. You know, that's almost like somebody pretty saying, we want to show you somebody prettier than you. And let me tell you what, that can be male or female. You starting some trouble right there, because I don't want to see nobody fine as me. If I'm supposed to be fine, I used to be fine, but we're in them days gone now. He says, you go. I'm commissioning you. I am giving you the resources to go and find, and Bethlehem was only 6 miles away. So really, they had misjudged the star in the first place when they ended up in Jerusalem. Do you get it? Which is a common thing, because, I mean, Again, it's light years away. He does not want to worship this king. He wants to kill him. How do I know? Just a few verses further, of which is not in our study, Deke, it says this in 16. When Herod, come on and read it with me. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. See, he's going by the star. Yeah, am I making sense to you? And he's saying, okay, I'm going to kill all the kids 2 years and under. That way, all the boys now. That way, I'll be sure to get. I'm going to kill them all in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Unexpected questions. Unexpected disturbances. An unexpected commission. He is commissioning them because he wants to find out where this kid is so he can kill him. But you need to understand something. That when God's got a plan, you can rule. But you can't super rule. That's right. You can clap on that. Because whatever God's plan is, that is the plan that's going to work out. All I'm saying to you is, in your pursuit of life, don't ever count out people. Don't ever count out folks. Just because they don't look like you or because they hate you, you don't know who God's going to use. Can I get a witness? Don't ever count out. Some of us won't even go to a dentist unless it's a Christian dentist. They can be the poorest Christian dentist in the world, but we're not going to let no Gentile work on our mouth. And I'm saying that's crazy. You don't know who God's going to use in your life. And that's what the text is saying right here. You don't tell God what to do. God tells you what to do. Number four. Remember, I said there are five. We're almost done here now. Unexpected signs. Now, what are signs and wonders? Signs are things that we can't explain. Has anybody ever experienced that where God just popped up in your life or God just sent somebody in your life, or God just did something in your life that brought you closer to him? Am I wrong or right about that? Anybody here experience that? Anybody who would like to experience that? Well, if you want to experience that, then start believing that there is a God that loves you so much that he's willing to break in to your situation, to your circumstance, and to get you to be where exactly he wants you to be. After they had heard the king, now this is the Magi, these are the wise men, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Remember, for those of you who were here last week, the shepherds knew where to go because what? Because the baby would be where? In a manger. What's usually in a manger? Cow food or horse food. So it would be unusual, but that's the way you'd find that baby. For these individuals, it was the star. You need to really hold on to that thought about the star, because this is important right here. First of all, stars don't rise and go down. They do move. The big star that is our sun is moving all the time, and the earth is moving all the time. We call it our galaxy. Are you with me? and it's moving. It doesn't rise. So we have an unusual sign here that the star that they saw, the divine star that they saw, the king star that they saw, it moved. And it's moving exactly where they're supposed to go. Y'all don't hear me. Have you ever experienced where God put you something in your life where it got you to be exactly where God wanted you to be? And you didn't know it. You didn't understand it. It was unexpected. But when it was over with, you said, hallelujah. I'm so glad that I listened to God. Remember, I just said to you, I'm not an astrologer, but the Bible teaches me in Isaiah 9:2 that the people walking in darkness have seen a what? A great light. You can call it the divine star if you want to. You can call it the star if you want to. But the people, that's us, who have been walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. When Jesus came into my life, the light went on. You see, I didn't realize I was in darkness. I didn't realize that I was moving around, and I really was not going anywhere. They say that there are two and most important times in your life, the day that you're born and the day you find your purpose. I discovered my purpose when I discovered that Jesus is the light. Don't ever make your job your purpose because you can lose your job. Don't ever make your career your purpose because you can lose your career. Don't ever make another person your purpose because you can lose your marriage. But you can't lose God once you get God. Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. And he's ever shining on my soul. Last one. Oh, I hope that food's here. Unexpected questions. When you're searching for Jesus, always unexpected. Unexpected disturbances. Ups and downs. Unexpected commissions. You don't know who's going to help you on your way. Unexpected signs. God breaking in to show me exactly where I'm supposed to go. Now, an unexpected king. Let me say something about this king, first of all. Okay? It's not unexpected that they were looking for a baby. They knew it was an infant. Are you with me? That was not unexpected. And you could look at this text and almost miss this. I'll show it to you in just a minute. They knew it was going to be a male child. Not that that makes any difference, because us who are male, we're not any better than females. It's just that was the way that the word said, unto us a son is given, unto us a child. That was the prophecy. Could it have been a girl? Sure it could. God can do anything. We don't know what color the baby was. We don't know anything about, because those people were all mixed up. And remember again, the Jews were what? They were slaves under the Romans. And any people who are oppressed by another people, one of the first things that happens is men start oppressing the women. Y'all don't hear me. In other words, they take them at will. Not in holy matrimony, as God says. So you had a lot of people around there that were Jews but they weren't looking like the Jews today. How did they know this was the right baby? But if you was listening to me, then you know they would know because of the what? The star. Wherever the star fell. So whoever the star fell on, guess what? That was the one who they was going to worship. You know, I thought about this. Let's just say for a moment it was a girl baby. Would they have given their gifts to a girl baby? I'd say yes. I'd say yes. Which is saying to you, Living Hope, I know that many of you are patriarchal, and that's fine. I don't come to tell churches who they choose as their pastor. But if Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Lotz, was to come knocking at your door, you'd be a fool not to choose her as your pastor. If Priscilla Schreier came and knocked on your door, you'd be a fool. Because the Bible said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. One of the things that we're going to have to realize is sometime the world will be done with you. The world will say, I'm through with you. It might even be your convention that says, I don't want to be with you. But you've got to position yourself in the right position to do the work of God. I pray that you will find somebody who will attract many people so that you can disciple them. An unexpected king. What do we know about this king? There it is in the first phrase. On coming to the house. You don't see it, do you? On coming to the house. Not a mansion. Not a palace. Not a great kingdom. Probably some little rental that Mary and Joseph got into. When they came into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. Joseph wasn't even there. And they did what? They bowed down and they worshiped him. In other words, they saw the child that was under the light and said, this must be the will of God. And they did for that child what they didn't do for Herod. They opened their treasures. And they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. How did they know? The only thing I can think of with the star. The great question to you is, how do you know that Jesus is the one? You celebrate Christmas. You celebrate the baby in the manger, and sometime you found out you've been celebrating wrong. It wasn't no easy situation. How do you know? Well, I'll tell you how we know who go to Living Hope Church, because the Bible says so. Jesus says in Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you and you and you testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the what? The bright and morning star. I am the star. You don't have to, I shine brighter. My glory shines brighter. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the light. I'm the bright and morning star. We know who the child is because the word says so. Can I get a witness? That's what we hold on to. That's what's precious to us. What does God say? I don't know about astrology. I don't know about any God star in the sky. But I know one thing. That's why I sing about Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world because he's shining where? In my soul. 21, 23, and 24 says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. when you get to heaven, there won't be a sun. There won't be any stars. There won't be any moon to shine on it. Why? For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb, that's Jesus, is its lamp, its light. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And then as I close, y'all ready for me to sit down? As I close, Jesus told his disciples, and he says to you today, Darlene, you are the light. Art, you are the light. Terry, you are the light. Kelly, you are the light. Maria, you are the light. Don't hide your light underneath a hill. Don't hide your light under a bowl, but instead put it on a stand and let it give light to everybody who is in the house. No, I'm not the bright and morning star, but Jesus lives in me. In the same way, Cheryl, look at you. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Noel, if that don't motivate you to work, I don't know what will. My light in me, Jesus shines lightest, brightest when I'm doing something. Jesus shines brightest when I'm serving him. Jesus shines brightest when I'm doing the work of evangelism, when I'm doing the work of discipleship. Jesus shines brightest. Not when I'm sitting on my hands. Not when I'm just sitting on a pew. But when I've made a decision that, Lord, that if I have but just one breath in me, I'm going to use it for you. All right, I'm done. When searching for Jesus, expect the what? The unexpected. Unexpected what? Unexpected what? Yeah, I hate those things. Unexpected what? Unexpected what? Unexpected what? Yeah. He's supposed to be in a palace, though, because he's a king. He's supposed to be driving around in a big old, you know, whatever. But he walking. When you're searching for Jesus or God's will, expect the unexpected. But you go with this. Jesus is the light. Again, I don't know about the astrologers. I don't know about, you know, the impact in your heart. And maybe there's some truth to all that. But I do know that Jesus is the light of the world. If you believe that, stand to your feet.